yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Ve'al kulam. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Salam aleinu ve'al kol ha'olam. Salam shalom. Salam aleinu ve'al kol ha'olam. Salam shalom. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Ve'al kulam. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Od yavo shalom aleinu. Ve'al kulam.
Thank you all so much for being here today and for showing your support and for standing with us. I'd like to invite our president, the president of the Board of Congregation Beth Shalom, Sarah Schwerin, to say a few words and light a candle in memory of the lives that were lost this weekend.
Welcome to Beth Shalom. My name again is Sarah Schwerin. I'm the president of the Board of the Temple. Amber Eichmann is our director of music and community engagement. I just wanted to remark how wonderful it is to all be together in one place, in solidarity with the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, but also in solidarity with all of those around the world who value peace and love over hate. When Amber and I first heard the news coming out of Pittsburgh, we actually weren't sure if we should do anything or host anything. And after all, it wasn't a local incident. And then we started thinking, well, if we wait until it is a local incident, it will be too late. So whether it's a shooting in a synagogue or in a church or in a mosque, or in a concert hall, many innocent lives are being lost. Some of the values that our country was founded on, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, are under quite a bit of pressure. Helen Keller once said, although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it. And I think it's only by standing here together and strong next to one another from different faiths and different walks of life that overcoming can happen. So our program for this afternoon is relatively simple. We're going to have some songs, prayers for peace, and remarks from 5 spiritual leaders across the Bozeman area. My role is to keep things moving in a somewhat organized fashion, and Amber's role is to move you with music that hopefully promotes some healing. We hope that you leave here feeling like it was time well spent, and that you have had a chance to grieve for those whose lives have been lost, and we hope you feel that maybe there is some hope after all. So for our first speaker, I'd like to welcome Pastor Lindeen Barnett Christensen of Christ the King Lutheran Church.
I wish we didn't have to be here this afternoon next to Rabbi Ed. I said, I'm really glad to see you. I wish it was under different circumstances. I wish we didn't have to be here, but we do. Because when hate is loud, love cannot be silent. And when hate promotes fear, love has to show up. And so I am thankful to be here. I am thankful there is nothing but room to stand or sit on the floor, to be here with each of you, to demonstrate our solidarity, to build community, to support one another, to pray for peace. As Sarah said, I'm one of the pastors of Christ the King Lutheran Church here in Bozeman. And for this year, I also am privileged to serve as the moderator of the Gallatin Valley Interfaith Association. For the last couple of years now, the GVIA, as we call it, has been a cooperation circle of an international organization called the United Religions Initiative. It's a bridge-building interfaith organization which lifts up mutual respect and compassion as cornerstones of a peaceful world. As I was considering what to share this afternoon, I thought, you know, probably not everybody goes on to the URI, United Religions Initiative, website all that often. Maybe it would be worth sharing the preamble from the founding of that organization. It expresses well why we gather as people from a variety of backgrounds, and it expresses well some of the commitments we share as people of faith. We, people of diverse religions, spiritual expressions, and indigenous traditions throughout the world, hereby establish the United Religions Initiative to promote enduring daily interfaith cooperation, to end religiously motivated violence, and to create cultures of peace, justice, and healing for the earth and all living beings. We respect the uniqueness of each tradition and differences of practice or belief. We value voices that respect others and believe that sharing our values and wisdom can lead us to act for the good of all. We believe that our religious, spiritual lives, rather than dividing us, guide us to build community and respect for one another. Therefore, as interdependent people rooted in our traditions, we now unite for the benefit of our earth community. We unite to build cultures of peace and justice. We unite to heal and protect the earth. We unite to build safe places for conflict resolution, healing, and reconciliation. We unite to support freedom of religion and spiritual expression and the rights of all individuals and peoples as set forth in international law. We unite in responsible, cooperative action to bring the wisdom and values of our religions, spiritual expressions, and indigenous traditions to bear on the economic, environmental, political, and social challenges facing our Earth community. We unite to provide a global opportunity for participation by all people, especially by those whose voices are not often heard. We unite to celebrate the joy of blessings and the light of wisdom in both movement and stillness. We unite to use our combined resources only for nonviolent, compassionate action, to awaken to our deepest truths, and to manifest love and justice among all life in our Earth community. As a cooperation circle of the URI, the Gallatin Valley Interfaith Association has pledged to be about that. It's ambitious and difficult and beautiful and possible to the degree we actually come together to share our stories and lives and then work together to live and love and serve the community we share. In a season where divisive rhetoric gets an awful lot of airtime and fear of the other is used to motivate, we come together to know and be known, to reclaim our calling to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so today we gather to join our Jewish neighbors and mourn for all that has been lost. In our grief, God is our comfort. As the psalmist says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. As a Lutheran pastor, it's not lost on me that we gather on the afternoon of what a whole bunch of us celebrated this morning as Reformation Sunday, remembering the Lutheran Reformation and all of the branches that came off of it as the rest of the Protestant Reformation begun by Martin Luther back in 1517, 501 years ago. And it's not lost on me that the anti-Judaic writings of Luther's later career have been used over and over and over again to horrific end. Back in 1994, the branch of the Lutheran family tree that of which I am a part, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, made a declaration to the Jewish community. Part of it said this: grieving the complicity of our own tradition within the history of hatred, we express our urgent desire to live out our faith in Jesus Christ with love and respect for the Jewish people. We recognize in anti-Semitism a contradiction and an affront to the gospel, a violation of our hope and calling, and we pledge this church to oppose the deadly working of such bigotry, both within our own circles and in the society around us. And we pray for the continued blessing of the Blessed One upon increasing cooperation and understanding between Lutheran Christians and the Jewish community. That was from 1994. Those prayers continue. And I pray that that one word that gets repeated over and over and over again in the preamble for the United Religions Initiative is something we can together live out, unite. Thank you.
Now we'd like to welcome Rabbi Chaim Brook of Chabad of Bozeman.
Yiskadal v'yiskadash shemei Rabbah. May your great name be magnified and sanctified. These powerful words of Kaddish mean more today than ever before. Sadly, Jews must die. Our words that we've heard weigh too much. France in 1147, Morocco 1465, Spain, Ukraine, 1648, Hebron, 1929, Germany, 1939, Poland, 1940, in which my beloved Zayda Shimon, lost his entire family to the Nazis, Toulouse, 2012, and the never-ending barbarism that our people experience too often in the Holy Land of Israel, and so many others. But this was different. In the words of our prophet Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, Bo, the death has penetrated our windows. It has entered our palaces. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 2018. We've had so much of it. So much anti-Semitism and hatred. So many caricatures and blood libels. So many pogroms and forced conversions. Yet we never and it hurts us to the core each time anew. We don't and we won't ever accept the insults, the hurt, the abuse as norm. We will never surrender to the forces of darkness. But in the meantime, as we say in Yiddish, asetut vei shreitman, when it hurts, we scream out in pain. The Torah tells Edom Aaron, that Moses' brother and the high priest in the Holy Temple was silent upon hearing of the tragic death of his two younger sons, Nadav and Avihu. Even though he was the holiest man alive, he knew that there are times in life for silence. Words can't do justice to our heartfelt, soul-deep expressions, so we are silent. And it's this sound of silence, this speechlessness, that is truly a roaring cry, gut-wrenching heartbreak. And people that are saying silently, yet loud and clear, that we have had enough. How many more times must we as Jews see images of talesim drenched in blood on the floors of our shuls and our yeshivas? How many Jews will once again have to ask themselves whether going to shul on Shabbos morning is a safe activity anymore? Every Monday and Thursday in our tachnun, supplication prayers, we say, Habeit mishamayim urei, ki ayinu lagvakeles bagoyim, nechshavnu katsoim latevach yuvol. Look from heaven and behold how we have become an object of scorn and derision among the nations. We are considered as sheep led to the slaughter, to be killed and annihilated, to be tortured and humiliated. Nevertheless, shimcha lo shachachnu, we have not forgotten your name. We implore you, do not forget us. Almighty God, Hashem, I stand here today and I tell you unequivocally, We have not forgotten your name, and we won't ever forget your name. We will continue to reach out to you, to seek your Torah guidance, which in the words of King Solomon in Proverbs is a tree of life for all those who cling to it. The tree of life in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the trees of life around the world, and the trees of life here in Bozeman, Montana, will continue to grow and bear fruit. Yesterday in Shul, we read the portion of the Torah of Vayera, which includes the binding of Isaac, how Abraham was commanded to sacrifice his protege son. At the age of 37, he takes Isaac up to the Akedah that we call, and he brings him as an offering. He is meant to bring him as an offering to God. God was testing Abraham and his devotion to him. And only a few moments before he slaughters his own son, an angel stopped him, and God informed Abraham that he had passed the test. Sadly, since that day, some 4,000 years ago, way too many Isaacs and way too many Rebekahs have been slaughtered as Kedoshim, dying as they sanctified his holy name. Abish, their Father in heaven, your children are broken individually and collectively, and we will beseech you for your mercy, comfort, and healing. But we are not there yet. Now is not the time for condolences. In Jewish tradition, we don't offer condolences to the mourners until after the funeral. And it's not the time for healing yet. It is a time for tears and a time for introspection. On Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, we ask God to annul the decrees against our people. And we say, Utshuva, utefila, utzedaka, ma'avirin esroya ha'gzera. With repentance, prayer, and charity, we are capable of averting the decree. And so there's three steps. The first one is tshuva, introspection, returning to our core, to our essence. If we want to change the world, we must change ourselves. I know, as a rabbi and as an individual, that it's easier to change them than change us. But we must change us if we really want to change them. To paraphrase from the article I wrote in Friday's Chronicle, if we want to live in a civil world, we must act civilly. If we don't like the overwhelming amount of hatred in our country, we must stop hating those we disagree with. If we don't like the rhetoric in our country, then we must stop with our own rhetoric. And if we're disturbed by the demonization of Jews on neo-Nazi websites, then as Jews, we need to stop demonizing other Jews who are different than we are, whether they're in Montana, Israel, or anywhere else around the world. I'm not a Buddhist, but I know that change comes from within. And if we don't change with real tshuva, real deep transformation, why would we think that anyone else would change? And why is it okay for us to hate and not others? I know there will be those, there already has been, who will be inclined to politicize the rabid anti-Semitism that we saw yesterday. But I beg you, please don't allow yourself to fall into that trap. The focus this week is not about guns and mental health. It's not about Democrats and Republicans. It's not about elections and free speech. It's about the hatred of Esau to Jacob, an illogical hatred that has persisted since the birth of the Jewish nation. And the language that scares them most is love, light, and spirituality. But then there's the second step, which is to feel a prayer. Let us resolve to be more spiritual and connect with God more often. God is not just for so-called religious people. He's not only needed when you're in the ER in an emergency. And it's not just for bar mitzvahs. God is important for all of us, all the time. Let's bring prayer back to our Jewish dinner tables, to our children's bedtime experience. And let us come to pray in shul more often. Let's do as many holy mitzvot, commandments, as we can. Study Torah at every given opportunity, and we must do our best to minimize our addiction to materialism and focus more on nourishing our souls, the spark of the divine that's within each of us. And then the third is tzedakah, charity, or more precisely translated as righteousness. Let us be more charitable, more giving, more humane. Or as my bubby would tell me, Chaim, you gotta be a big mensch. Don't pass the buck. If you see someone in need, help them. If someone needs a shoulder to cry on, offer them yours. And don't ever be too busy to help a homeless man or woman who needs your help at the I-90 exit ramp. In our prayers, we say, God will avenge the blood of the martyrs. Because vengeance is God's and God's only. My mentor, the Lubavitcher Rebbe of blessed memory, would always say, our job is to increase light in our world with random acts of goodness and kindness. Before I conclude, I'd like to take a moment to thank law enforcement and first responders in Pittsburgh, in Montana, and all over this amazing country. Thank you for your sacrifice and for putting your life on the line for your fellow citizens. You are the epitome of good and sacrifice, and for that we are forever grateful. So brothers and sisters, let's unite to change the world through changing ourselves. When tempted by gossip, rhetoric, and lashon hara, stand strong and say, no, I don't want that in my life. Let's resolve to stop being part of the problem and be the source of the solution. May God hear the cries of the last 36 hours and let Him, only He can do it, end this vicious exile and finally usher in the moment we've been waiting for since the creation of the world, the coming of our righteous Mashiach, bringing peace and serenity to our shattered world. Oseh shalom bimromav, hu yaseh shalom aleinu, v'al kol Yisrael v'imru amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Lindeen, and thank you, Rabbi Chaim. Next up, we have the Reverend Canon Dr. Clark Sherman of St. James Episcopal Church.
We grieve for lost lives, wounded, shattered, destroyed by the horrific violence and hatred shown at Tree of Life congregation in Pittsburgh. As Christians, particularly as an Episcopalian, we deplore this bigotry and we stand against this evil. 9-year-old Yolanda Renee King invoked the famous words of her grandfather, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when she spoke to tens of thousands of people last March in Washington, D.C. She spoke on a similar platform as her grandfather did 55 years earlier when he shared his I Have a Dream speech. She said, I have a dream of when enough is enough. Enough bigotry, enough injustice, enough hatred, enough violence. Enough is enough. We must be clear. Words are not enough. More will be required of us than impassioned rhetoric. Words are cheap. Lives are not. It's time to show up. It's time to step up. How do we best honor the lives of innocents lost? We stand in their place as an army of righteous. We stand up to bigotry. We stand up to injustice. We stand up to hatred, to violence. Enough is enough. I'd like to offer a prayer. Grant, O God, that your holy and life-giving Spirit may so move every human heart that barriers which divide us may crumble, suspicions disappear, and hatreds cease. That our divisions being healed, we may live in justice and in peace. And merciful Lord, you have taught us in your holy word that you do not willingly afflict or grieve your children. Look with compassion on the sorrows of your servants for whom we offer prayers this day. Remember them, O Lord, in your mercy. Nourish their souls with patience. Comfort them with a sense of your goodness. Lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. And Almighty God, in your sovereign might, protect the lives of the innocent and render powerless the forces of darkness in this and every land. Amen.
Yafu Ezri.
Next up, we have Dr. Rahul Amin of the Islamic Center of Bozeman.
Salam, shalom, peace be all of you. I begin with a verse from our holy scripture, Quran, where God says, O you who believe, be a steadfast witness for God in equity and let not your hatred for any people seduce you to act unjustly. Be just, and that is nearer to piety. Chapter 5, verse 8. We, the children of this world, the citizens of this world, condemn this heinous and cowardly attack on a house of worship. A place of worship is a place for refuge, not for hatred. Our heartfelt condolences to the loved ones of all those who were killed or injured, and express our solidarity with the Jewish community. This barbaric attack on our Jewish sisters and brothers is deeply disturbing and horrifying. Such an act of terror affects all of us. Because you know what? An attack on any faith is an attack on all faiths. This attack is on American values and the principles of humanity. And we all need to come together as one united body to restore civilized values in our society. Think about what happened just in last 4 days in our country. Think about what happened in just last 4 days in our country. One Wednesday, a white man with a history of violence shot and killed two African Americans, seemingly at random, at a Kroger store outside Louisville, Kentucky, after his failed attempt to barge into a black church. On Friday, someone was arrested for allegedly sending 14 bombs by mail. And on Saturday, this barbaric, heinous act in the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. We respond hate, not with hate. You know what we respond with? We respond hate with love and education. The biggest fear is the fear of unknown. So we need to educate each other so that we don't fear the unknown anymore. Like in the past, we shall overcome the shock of this tragedy And I know we will overcome. We had overcome in the past and emerge even stronger than what we are today. We will emerge with a stronger love and a stronger understanding and respect for each other. I end with this quote from Albert Einstein. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Clark and Dr. Amen. Now I'd like to introduce Rabbi Ed Staffman, Rabbi Emeritus, Congregation Beth Shalom.
Thank you, Sarah, and all of our prior speakers, and my good friend Rahul and his wife Shadmani, who I noted earlier, the Islamic Center of Pittsburgh, in less than 24 hours raised $60,000 to assist the victims. Rose Mollinger was 97 years old, and she survived the Holocaust, but along with 10 others yesterday, she couldn't survive the bullets from a hate-tinged anti-Semitic gunman. As a rabbi, I'm trained to offer prayer and comfort in times of loss and tragedy. But as I gathered my thoughts for today, as I read each of the 11 names and contemplated their lives, I found my tears inextricably mixed with anger. Now, anger is not necessarily bad, so long as it's channeled into constructive action. So if you'll bear with me, I want to express that anger today and suggest how our prayers can be offered through our hands and our feet, as well as our heart. I'm angry, of course, because instead of hearing Shabbat Shalom yesterday morning, our brothers and sisters were greeted instead with the shots of an AR-15 assault rifle. Our hearts are sore, aching with sorrow. I'm angry because the worst mass murder of Jews on American soil ever cannot be dismissed as an isolated incident, the work of some extremist nut. Consider the context. Minutes before the shooter committed this vile crime, he posted the following on a right-wing website, quote, HIAS, which is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, likes to bring invaders in that kill our people. I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics. I'm going in. And 5 minutes later, the shots rang out. You see, my friends, yesterday was known as National Refugee Shabbat, organized by HIAS, with events hosted at hundreds of synagogues across the country. One such community was Dor Chadash in Pittsburgh, which holds its services inside the Tree of Life Synagogue. For more than 130 years, HIAS has worked to rescue refugees around the planet. HIAS says about themselves, "We used to help refugees because they were Jews. Now we help them because we are Jews." In my tenure as rabbi here at Beth Shalom, I frequently used HIAS materials. But what got the shooter so worked up about HIAS? It's not hard to connect the dots. All week long, the President of the United States spoke about a caravan of would-be invaders from Central America, which he said contained Middle Eastern terrorists and gang members. They were on their way to our southern border, he said, and he was sending the military to stop them. Actually, these refugees were fleeing violence and poverty, following U.S. and international law with the intention to present themselves at the border to claim asylum. I couldn't help but imagine that they looked much like the Jewish caravan of oppressed refugees that left Egypt some 3,000 years ago. The president eventually admitted that, quote, there is no proof that the caravan contained terrorists or gangs. But the damage was done. The fear had been ignited. Then there was the false claim that George Soros is funding the effort. Soros, of course, is frequently held up by the president and by anti-Semites and white supremacists throughout the world as the archetype of the dangerous Jewish globalist. The president invokes Soros' name, well aware that Soros and Satan are equated on right-wing websites. The synagogue shooter knew this too well, posting that, quote, Jews are the children of Satan. So friends, I'm angry, because this didn't come out of nowhere. Nor is it unconnected with the MAGA bomber that Rahul mentioned moments ago, that white supremacist who was motivated by the same hate and sent pipe bombs first and foremost to Soros and others who would criticize the president. Nor is it unconnected to the man who gunned down the two African Americans in Kentucky this week, apparently because they were black. And I'm angry also at the president's response while paying lip service to the need to come together and offering the customary thoughts and prayers. He continued to spew hate and insults at those with whom he disagrees. As writer Dahlia Litwick said this morning, it's ironic that all we can offer is thoughts and prayers to those who are already praying in the first place. And I'm angry because the scariest thing isn't that the president promotes hate and divisiveness. It's that there are those who cheer him on for it. Friends, I keep envisioning the words on this famous Auschwitz poster, which reads, quote, "Remember, the Holocaust didn't start with gas chambers. It started with politicians dividing the people with us versus them. It started with intolerance and hate speech, and when people stopped caring, became desensitized and turned a blind eye." Friends, prayers won't fix it, not unless they're accompanied by meaningful action. Now, some may say that the role of a religious community is to bring together people and ask them to look only inwards, change their self, avoiding the nasty business of politics, as if Judaism doesn't teach values and how we must affirmatively act on those values in the public realm. Imagine if our teacher Moses Rabbeinu, had told God, "Sorry, I can't go to Pharaoh the king," because that would be political. Our Torah teaches that when the Jews were at the Red Sea with the chariots coming, they thought they were doomed, and Moses got down and prayed to God, and God's response was, "Why are you praying to me? Do something." And at that, one man, Nachshon, his name was, stepped into the sea, and it began to split. We're a people of action as well as prayer. Jewish tradition teaches that our role on this earth is to do tikkun olam, repair the world. And that includes a broken society. And something is utterly broken in our society when those willing to cause us harm can get their hands on automatic weapons. Something is profoundly wrong when the rhetoric of hate and divisiveness is enabled, strengthened, and sustained by those holding public office. Something is not working properly when people can't go to synagogues and churches and mosques or schools or malls or theaters without fearing for their lives and the lives of their children, and prayers alone won't fix it. I didn't know 97-year-old Rose Ballinger or any of the other victims, but I have many friends and colleagues who did. And it's all over my email threads and Facebook this morning. The pain and suffering are unfathomable. To support them, we must rise up and speak the truth. We must hold our representatives accountable for what's going on in our midst. We may need to pray with our feet, with our votes, with our actions, because we can't walk away. We can't give up on our aspirations for a better future. Together, we're stronger than those willing to cause us harm. And as appalled and sickened as I am today, I also know that we shall overcome. So here are a couple of preliminary specifics of how I'm personally responding. First, I'm giving money all I can to HIAS and doubling down on their work. Separately, I've signed up with a dozen other rabbis to go to Nogales, Mexico next month, and together with the Jesuit mission there, assist those immigrants who America is deporting daily, often people who have been in this country for a long time. And finally, I want to channel my anger into a prayer, looking for a way to comfort myself and one another. Eloquence is not mine today, but here's my best shot. Holy One of Blessing, yesterday on the Shabbat called Vayera, meaning where God appeared to Abraham and Sarah at their tent, we learned of the immense hospitality of your servants Sarah and Abraham, that their tent was open in all directions to welcome visitors. Today, instead, we mourn yet another act of violence against unarmed civilians in our nation. Our hearts break that the love that Torah teaches has not been realized, not only for our own people, but for communities across the nation of all colors and religions. Every individual has been threatened or harmed in this time of inflamed rhetoric. We mourn the fact that over and over our legislators are begged to create reasonable laws around guns and they fail to do so, valuing profits, personal and corporate, above people. We mourn the fact that national rhetoric has opened the pathway for disturbing conscious acts of violence and threatened violence. We mourn the fact that once again we must lay our siblings in the ground. We pray, Holy One, that you will set our nation back on a course of peace and justice for all people, for Jews and Muslims and Black Americans and transgender people, people who kneel, people who march, people who speak up against injustice in all its forms. Please turn the hearts of people one to the other that kindness and love may heal our nation. We will say Kaddish, Holy One, once again and again and again and again, and pray that ancient hatreds will be transformed into siblinghood and that a new generation of leaders will arise who will work for healing rather than division, generosity rather than tight-fistedness, compassion rather than enmity, true wisdom rather than personal gain. Until that day dawns that we may recognize each person as our sibling, Holy One, we will do our part, and we ask the same of you. May the source of compassion, love, and hope be with us, hold us, and strengthen our resolve. May God send comfort to our brothers and sisters in Pittsburgh, mourning their dear ones. May those who were hurt recover quickly, and may we all find the ways to heal as a nation, to embrace diversity, and to foster hope for our sake and the sake of our children. Amen.
Tachat kanfei hashchina, im kedoshim utehorim kizohar harokia, mazhiri. Benishmot yakirenu shehalchu leolamam. Yastirim beseter kenafav l'olamim. Bitzror, bitzror hachayim et nishmatam. Adonai hu nachalatam. V'yanuchu b'shalom al mishkavam. No more. Amen.
Before we say Kaddish, we'd like to read the names of the victims who died. Joyce Feinberg, Richard Gottfried, Rose Malinger, Jerry Rabinowitz, brothers Cecil and David Rosenthal, husband and wife Bernice and Sylvan Simon, Daniel Stein, Melvin Wax, and Irving Youngner. We also are praying for the healing of the victims who were injured in the attack. On the back of your leaflet, you'll find a Kaddish for after gun violence, and you can follow along.
So I will read the Aramaic part, and Amber will lead you all. This is not the actual Kaddish that we would say at a funeral, but a sort of a creative version, we'll say. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabah.
Exalted and holy be your great name, yet little feels holy today. Another mass shooting, an incomprehensible horror. too many dead and too many wounded. And we are left to mourn the dead, to heal the wounded, to wonder why.
B'alma divarach urte.
Created according to plan. But is this part of your plan? That death and destruction emerges from the free will you entrusted to us. That automatic gunfire rains down unceasingly. That people kill people using weapons we designed and created with the minds you accorded us. May your majestic love be revealed in the days of our lifetime. In your Torah we are taught, when Moses and the Israelites stood praying at the shores of the Red Sea while the Egyptians' army was bearing down on them, you called out to us, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." So help us move on, not by forgetting this horror, not by explaining it away, not by blaming the easy targets, but by having courage to mourn the dead, heal the victims, bless the first responders, lead with love, change the laws, and save lives. May there soon be abundant peace from heaven and life for us, peace that comes because we did not become inured to the continual violence in our concert venues, our schools, our malls, and our neighborhoods, and we did not allow the calls for prayers to turn us away from the actions we must take to end mass shootings, but because we did find the courage to stand up, speak up, act out.
Oseh shalom bimramav, hu ya'aseh shalom aleinu.
Bring peace to us.
V'al kol Yisrael, v'al kol yoshvei tevel.
To all Israel and all the world, so one day your world, free from this violence,
will finally
reflect your.
Before we move into the concluding song, thank you all for being here with us, and a special thanks to our speakers today. I know words won't fix everything, but yours help. Please know that leaders from many spiritual organizations across Bozeman have sent their prayers and support, in addition to the ones that are represented here today. Shalom. Thank you.
Sometimes I lay under the moon, and thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, I know someday it'll all turn around. Because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't wanna fight no more. There'll be no more wars, and our children will play. One day, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day, one day this all will change. Treat people the same, stop with the violence, down with the hate. One day we'll all be free and proud to be under the same sun, singing songs of freedom. Like all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't want to fight no more. There'll be no more wars, and our children will play. One day, one day, one day, one day. Ah. Shemo
Echad. Thank you so much for being here.